This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you thankful for football this year? I'm more thankful than ever for the NFL this year. More thankful for college football and the games that they managed to play than I ever have been. I promised myself in the summertime, when more of the talk was about how the NFL was never going to survive, the NFL was never going to be able to play a season because the league wasn't setting up a bubble, the NFL was never going to manage to go all the way through September and October and November, and here comes the second wave, and December, and then on into its postseason without some type of stoppage. Except the NFL has managed to do exactly that. There have been no cancellations at all, no missed games. There have been postponements and tweaks to the schedule, but not in a month, if I remember correctly. Not going back to week four and five. Week seven, we had a rescheduled game between Tennessee and Pittsburgh. But for the most part, even with all the protocols, and there are now intense protocols, lots of contact tracing, lots of guys missing practice, lots of guys being barred from facilities, even players who have to miss games. Every team is having to deal with it and having to stay flexible. And yet the NFL marches on and the quality is good. As I talked about with Russell Baxter last hour, if you didn't know that this was a pandemic here, if you didn't know all of the extra stresses and pressures, if you didn't know what these teams were facing day in, day out, week in, week out, you wouldn't be able to tell from what they're doing on the field. There are some very good teams. There's parity, which is what the league loves. There's injuries, of course, but that happens every year. There's intensity. There's sense of urgency. And there's football every single week. I know it's a small thing. It's not the same as being thankful for a roof over your head and money to buy groceries and a job and a family that's healthy and friends who love you and me. It's not the same, but it's still something that I'm thankful for as someone who works in the sports business, in the sports industry, but also as a fan of the NFL. I can't imagine this time of the year without it. And I'm extremely grateful for all the work that's being done at the league level, at the franchise front office level, and in the locker room level. These guys are protecting their coaches, some of whom are older and higher risk. These guys are protecting one another. And when it comes time to step between the white lines, they're balls to the wall. And I appreciate all of that. Sorry, that's not usually a phrase I use, but it definitely applies here. So on this Thanksgiving week, as we close in on the actual holiday, gobble, 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 gobble. I work on my turkey gobbles this time of the year. This is my only show that I'll be here with you all week because I got to use days. And so I'm taking a Thanksgiving vacation. I've never done that before. And by vacation, I just mean I won't be here. Anyway, I'm really excited about seeing football on Thursday and watching with friends. I'm very thankful for the blessings of 2020, as challenging and as difficult it has been. And many of you may have seen my tweet by now. Sunday was exactly 6 months since I signed the paper on my first little house. And every single day, as there's less and less to do outside of the house and fewer and fewer opportunities to hang out with people. So it's a lot of time spent at my house. I'm really thankful for my own little slice of heaven and how well God knows me, that this is the house he gave me. So today, well, Sunday, excuse me, was 6 months. So that's something that I will always remember about 2020. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. As I mentioned, Thursday, it's a special Thanksgiving Day edition of the NFL on CBS. Deshaun Watson, fantasy, and the Texans take on the Lions. Oh, they need some fantasy, don't they? In fact, in your fantasies, maybe the Lions are a winning team someday, people. Coverage begins at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific with the NFL today. And then on Sunday, we cap week 12, an NFL and CBS doubleheader features a marquee matchup between Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, the Buccaneers, and Tom Brady. It's a full weekend of football with the NFL on CBS. When last we saw in the playoffs, the Chiefs and the Patriots, do you remember the AFC Championship, Arrowhead Stadium 2 years ago, and the offsides penalty on D Ford that negated a Tom Brady interception? I will never forget that game went into overtime. Oh my goodness. Anyway, so we've got a lot in store for us through the rest of November, December, January playoffs, extra teams in, and then, of course, the Super Bowl scheduled in February could get pushed back. Not a big dealio, yo. But there's so much on the horizon, and I am extremely thankful. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So I talked to you about the Steelers being 10-0.
They said I was lying to both sides. Was I?
Ford. He's incredulous. They caught him on the mic, and I remember having the guys pull that because it was just so in the moment, the emotion that you've got to be kidding me. Thank you, producer
was
Dave. yes, you were. It's a crazy the moment you remember, right? You could ask me five other moments from the 2018 season. I'm not sure I could give you five right off the top of my head, but I can remember that one. What happened in the NFC Championship, producer Dave, that we will never forget?
Oh, that's another one that's immortalized. You don't get a flag. You don't get one.
Where's the flag? You don't get one. Yeah, that was, I mean, I'm not laughing at you, Saints fans, but oh my gosh. That was the moment. Of course, we're referring to the missed pass interference call on Nickell Robey-Coleman. Rams, Saints, late fourth quarter, Superdome, and this is before overtime, so it's not the reason they lost, but it's just a moment that set the NFL on fire, and the league was so upset after having had such an incredible regular season and playoffs to that point. They were so upset that the moment at the end of the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game would be the one that would be remembered, but that's something you can't control. Anyway, we're on to 2020, right? Like Bill Belichick, we're on to the next one. So the Jacksonville Jaguars provide minimal resistance against the Steelers. The Steelers go to 10-0. We talked about the Chiefs moving to 9-1. Those are your top two teams in the NFL, certainly your top two teams in the AFC. Behind them, it's a crapshoot. I mean, it's a free-for-all, which is what we love to call our last show of the work week, a football free-for-all. The Ravens taking on the Titans, two of the top contenders in the AFC. And no doubt the Steelers enjoyed watching the Ravens and Titans go toe-to-toe. And this one really came down to the late game drama. And so Baltimore is up 21-16 midway through the fourth quarter when the Titans use that ball control method that the Ravens would prefer to use, right? They both want to be able to run the ball, and then use the run to set up the pass because they both have good receivers. Though I would say, you look at the Titans' offensive weapons around Ryan Tannehill, and right now they have much more balance. But Tennessee uses 5.5 minutes off the clock, a 90-yard drive. Slow and steady wins the race. People point to Ryan Tannehill and call him a game manager, but that's what the Titans need. They don't need him to get all kinds of crazy and pretend like he's Aaron Rodgers. That won't work. And so a 90-yard drive that consumes 5.5 minutes off the clock, and it wraps up with a dazzling TD catch.
Smith motions left. Tannehill looks, fires. Brown makes the catch at the 10, spinning, driving his way to the 5, into the end zone.
Wow.
How did he do it?
Wow.
Touchdown, Titans. Arthur 1, Brown.
Mike Heath and Dave McGinnis on the Titans Radio Network. They don't describe it in that moment. They did after the fact. A.J. Brown was like a pinball or in a pinball machine. He gets hit. He spins around. He keeps on moving. He essentially bounces off bodies and muscles his way into the end zone. It was incredible. So A.J. Brown with the TD and the two-point conversion, and that puts the onus on the Ravens. So what do? They tie the game with a Justin Tucker field goal. However, they had multiple shots at the end zone to try to win this game in the late stages. They took 2 shots. Neither one of those passes could Lamar connect on. And so they had to settle for the game-tying field goal. They go into overtime. Ravens win the coin flip. Ravens receive. Ravens go 3 and out. Let's be honest. This offense is not nearly as lethal as it was a season ago. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Defensive coordinators get paid too. They know how to game plan for Lamar Jackson in the run game. There aren't as many. You know what? That's not even fair. There are good receivers on this team. Dez Bryant, by the way, first 4 catches in 2 years. They've got Willie Snead. They've got Hollywood Brown, who they're just not in sync, Jackson and Brown. A lot of games, it feels like Brown is nowhere to be found. But they still have Gus Edwards. They still have Mark Ingram. They've got J.K. Dobbins, who had 70 yards and a touchdown on Sunday. Mark Andrews, amazing. I know he's not technically a receiver, but he reminds me of a Travis Kelce, the way that they can use him out there on the field, even though he's
a
tight end position.
And they talk to.
So the Ravens fail to get into the end zone, even though they have multiple shots. They get the Justin Tucker field goal, but they go 3 and out to start overtime. A big sack by the Tennessee defense on 2nd down of that drive. And so late in the game, the Titans defense holds. The Ravens had multiple chances to win this game. In regulation, early in overtime, could not come up with the big play. So it's the final possession of the game. The ball in the hands of the Titans. Next score wins. 6 plays, 73 yards, and even though we focus on what happens at the end and the walk-off, and it's amazing, it absolutely is, you'll hear it in a second, keep in mind that in order to move the chains 3 separate times on this drive, Corey Davis and A.J. Brown had to come up with critical catches. And so once again, Ryan Tannehill, when he sees the defense taking away the run, what does he do? He uses the pass to open it up, and he's accurate, and he's got guys that he trusts. Ultimately, though, you want to get the job done. Well, you ride the horse.
Henry gets the carry running left. Henry to the 25. Henry to the 20. To the 15. To the 10. To the 5.
Yes! Oh, yes! 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 Yes!
Touchdown, Titans! As the Titans will run out of Baltimore with a shocker in OT.
Shocker, I don't know about that, but I do like the call on the Titans Radio Network. I love McGinnis yelling, oh yes, oh yes. There was actually another oh yes a little bit later if we had let it run. Derrick Henry, amazing, goes straight into the teeth of the D, takes a right-hand cut, and boom, is gone.
Yes, oh yes, 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 yes.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I definitely think we should enjoy our football. I have no problem with people getting excited.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So Derrick Henry finishes with 133 yards and that overtime touchdown on his 28 carries. But the way that, I'm just telling you, you gotta, if you haven't seen the video, make sure you check it out. It in fact looks like an L. That's what he ran. He ran a short bottom and then boom, a long top of the L as he coasts into the end zone. And certainly that was the L that was handed to the Baltimore Ravens, and this one coming at M&T Bank Stadium. And so you've got the Titans who needed to keep pace with the Colts. We'll talk Colts and Packers following this break. But it definitely changed for the Titans in the fourth quarter. And Mike Vrabel says that's when he felt the momentum swing.
But you could just tell going down there in the fourth quarter where the way we scored and then getting the ball, you know, in overtime, you know, after we forced the three and out, a lot of credit to our guys. And then just looking at, you know, their body language on the side, you know, on their sideline and also on the field.
It was huge. You know, we've been moving the ball effectively. You know, I had a ton of confidence that, as soon as we got the ball, that we were going to find a way to march it down and get in the end zone. They're throwing the kitchen sink at us, bringing pressure almost every play. I'm telling the guys in the huddle, you know, they're bringing all this pressure. We get Derek on, make him miss on one guy, he'll be able to take it to the house. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, it's hard enough to tackle Derrick Henry, but when you have to track him down in the open field, it's even more difficult. But just the vision and the way that he took that sharp cut, and he was in daylight. Derrick Henry right now is leading the early returns for your Monday MVP. What about NFL MVP? Would you consider a running back, a Dalvin Cook, a Derrick Henry? Henry, of course, so instrumental in the Titans getting to the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs a year ago. And this was not a rematch of sorts, but there was a lot of talk about the Ravens and revenge, which didn't happen. A painful loss for the Baltimore Ravens. It drops them to third place in the AFC North and drops them back to the point where now they're competing for that wild card. And it's a lot more dicey when you are in the rear of that playoff race, having to catch up and pass multiple teams.
You know, we just had two losses in a row, games we should have won. We had little hiccups in the game, but we still got to keep fighting through it. You know, that team, it looked like that team wanted it more than us. You know, they was playing physical. Went up, I feel like, you know, we just took our foot off the gas, but we just got to keep it going.
Wait, no, what? So when I first heard Lamar Jackson say that, I thought, wait a minute, those are just spitting cliches. There's no way he actually thinks the Titans wanted it more than them. That's not possible. And if it is, you sure as hell don't say it. Unless you think this is some type of a come to Jesus moment for your team.
We look like that team wanted it more than us.
What?
We look like that team wanted it more than us.
I heard you the first three times. I don't believe that he said it. And I don't believe that it's true. This game went into overtime, and the Ravens were not able to capitalize on their offensive opportunities, but we've seen that a bunch from them this season. Lamar goes 17 of 29, 186 yards, has a touchdown, has a pick. He also has 50 yards on the ground. But let's be honest, Tennessee won the rushing battle and bucked up on defense late, not to mention were able to move the chains when they had to have those TDs. And as you hear Mike Vrabel talk about, and then Ryan Tannehill, was really about grabbing that momentum and everybody pitching in. But to say that it looked like they wanted it more, I'm going to assume that's just the cliche that people say. Because if that's the case, then the Ravens have got far bigger problems than back-to-back losses.
It looked like that team wanted it more than us.
Oh, ugh. No. I don't believe that. Not a John Harbaugh team, not with everything on the line. But here's where they stand in the AFC North. Steelers 10-0, Browns 7-3, Ravens 6-4. And so right now, the Ravens are the same record as the Raiders and the Dolphins, who dropped back on Sunday. But they've also got competition, not just among those teams at the same record, but in the AFC South. Both the Titans and Colts are 7-3, which means only one of them can win the division title. If they keep going on this trajectory, one of them will get a wild card. The Browns are ahead of the Ravens right now for a wild card. It's going to be a dogfight for sure over the final 6 weeks. There's no way you should be saying it looked like they wanted it more than us. I don't care if it is true, but it better not be true.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Williams moves to the right side of A-Rod of the shotgun, slot left, snap to Rogers, swings it right side. He's got Jamal, diving pylon, touchdown! 27-14, Green Bay, they beat Darius Leonard to the corner.
Here you make the call, not the refs. Light up Amy's phone lines now. 855-212-4CBS.
Aaron Rodgers to Jamal Williams. Well, it was Jamal Williams' touchdown, but Aaron Rodgers moving his team down the field in the late stages of the first half against the Colts on Sunday. And this was one thing that I tweeted about that a lot of you responded to me. As part of that touchdown drive that was capped by Jamal Williams into the end zone, you had a 51-yard penalty. So a deep shot to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and it draws a PI flag. And because of the spot foul, which I'm not a huge fan of, because of the spot foul rule, it's a 51-yard penalty. Woo! That's excessive, no? And I know there's no perfect way to do this. The college rule is 15 yards, but then you wonder if teams take advantage. But, man, teams definitely take advantage when it's a spot foul. They take shots deep just to see what they can come up with and if they can draw a flag. So Jamal Williams rushes into the end zone, and the Packers are up 28-14. But Indy starts the second half by reverting back to its ground game, the ground and pound. They move the line, they move the chains, they march downfield. They control the third quarter. And so the Colts rally to tie this game on three scoring drives in a row. And it's 28-28 when the Colts force a fumble on a kickoff early in the fourth quarter. That leads to a field goal in their first lead. All right, so they score on three consecutive drives. They're playing more of the ball control game. They're keeping it away from Aaron Rodgers. They're keeping him on the sidelines. And they rumble then to their first lead. Do you know the Packers didn't have a first down in the second half until they were past the midway point of the fourth quarter? But again, the Indianapolis defense, remember Darius Leonard wanted to make sure that Aaron Rodgers remembered him and knew his name. The Indy defense snuffs out a drive on fourth down. Green Bay decides not to go for a long field goal, even though Mason Crosby is really good. Instead, they try to go for it on fourth down. The killer instinct, it doesn't work. Indy gets the ball back. Now, Indy has its own fourth and four that comes up a little bit later on, about 2 minutes to go in regulation. The field goal was kind of what they were looking for, but they don't get close enough, right? And so they're still up, but only by a smidge. So then Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, another incredible throw to Valdez-Scantling. Remember his name. Green Bay drives 86 yards then to end regulation, and it's Mason Crosby with a short field goal to force overtime. Now you think when the Packers win the coin flip and choose to receive, that this is a no-brainer. We just saw Rodgers march the Packers 86 yards downfield in the final 2 minutes of regulation. Sure, it stalled. He misfired on a shot at the end zone. I think it was on third down. But he moved them efficiently. And we know what he can do with the ball in his hands. But 48 seconds into overtime, he completes a pass to Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And the Colts hit him. The ball pops out. He fumbles. And right away, the Colts don't really have to do anything at all. They're instantly in field goal range.
A 39-yard field goal from Blankenship to give the Colts the win out of the hold of Sanchez. Luke Rose to snap it. Here's a snap. Ball's down. Kick is on the way. And it is. It's through. It's through. It went in. It went in. And the Colts win it. A walk-off winner for Rodrigo Blankenship. The Colts win 34-31 in overtime.
We know what type of offense we've had this year. It's been pretty efficient. The only thing that's been stopping us for the most part has been ourselves and not converting third downs and turning the ball over today. Obviously, hurt us really bad.
He had a couple of turnovers himself, And so it was a game in which there were missed opportunities, but the Colts did too. Actually, the overtime, while it did feature a turnover, it's not like that was the aberration. In fact, that was the rule. There were six turnovers in this game, four of them for the Green Bay Packers, two in the first half for Aaron Rodgers. That Colts defense is fierce. And Indy special. And if you ask Phillip Rivers, this win is pretty darn special.
Be the quarterback and lead a team out there and play against an Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay Packers on national TV at 4:25 on a Sunday afternoon. There's no question. So it was.
It was special. And if you heard my conversation with Russell Baxter last hour, one of the things he talked about with the Colts is that they did not abandon the run game even when they were trailing by a couple of scores. And Frank Reich said after the fact, we expected to use the run game. We knew we were going to need it, and that's when we were able to change the momentum.
Just felt like we could dominate this game. Felt like we could take control. We talked about, let's take control of the second half. Let's take control of the second half.
One of the things that jumped out at me, and I'm sure you too, if you're watching this game, 116 penalty yards, and it seemed like every single time the Colts came up with a big play, there was a holding penalty that wiped it out. I mean, it was crazy how many holding calls they had. In fact, all of their eight penalties may have been holding calls. 116 yards in penalties, and yet they still won. So they won the turnover battle. They controlled the time of possession by roughly 7 minutes. They ran for 140 yards, and they did a lot of their damage in the second half when they settled into that run game and really controlled the line of scrimmage. And so the Packers, they're in good shape. They fall back to 7-3. If you're looking at race for top seed in the NFC, well, right now the Saints have the nose in front. But you remember last year we had three teams that finished tied. And it was the Packers who had the tie break, and they had the number two seed behind the Niners. Right now, there's only one bye for each conference. The Saints are at 8-2. They don't have Drew Brees for at least another 2 weeks. The Buccaneers, the Packers, of course, the Seahawks, all challenging for that bye, for that top seed. Packers have a two-game lead in the NFC North, and the Bears are off this weekend. Vikings and Lions both lost. So they're the only team in their division that's above 500. This game far more critical, in my opinion, for the Colts, who now have won back-to-back games against legit contenders, the Titans and the Packers. It's nice that they had that mini bye. Remember, they played on Thursday night in week number 10 and had the time off. But that formula, the defense, the energy spearheaded by Darius Leonard, controlling the line of scrimmage, controlling the trenches, running the football, and not asking Phillip Rivers to do too much. To me, that's huge. He did have three touchdown passes, so did Aaron Rodgers. But you don't want him doing everything. It's better when there's balance. Man, is he fired up, though. Both the Colts and Titans are 7-3, but the Colts have the tie break. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. They don't hand out MVP hardware in week 11, but it's fun to have the conversation. Would you say Aaron Rodgers is the NFL MVP? Would you say it's Patrick Mahomes? Would you give me a different name? I'm writing my CBS Sports Minute on Ben Roethlisberger.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Cousins under center. Justin Jefferson to the left. Thielen goes in short motion. Snap to Cousins. Play action. Rolls out to the right. Pass is caught. Touchdown, Vikings! It's another touchdown for Adam Thielen.
Dalton, another handoff. Pollard outside on the right side. First down, broke free to the 20. Foot race, 15. Pass Harrison Smith. Touchdown, Tony Pollard. 42 and a score. And the Cowboys are back on top.
Second and four, Madison, the tailback. Play action for Kirk. Here's a deep shot. There's Jefferson. Touchdown! 39-yard touchdown. Cousins to JJ.
They've got two cracks to get it in. Dalton in the pistol, Elliott behind him, Lamb in motion right, play fake, looking in the middle of the end zone to Schultz, touchdown! With a minute 37 left, Dalton to Schultz, and the Cowboys have regained the lead.
It's a football feeding frenzy, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What you don't hear with Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network is it's actually Dalton to Dalton Schultz. So good. When I first heard Andy Dalton's post-game comments about the touchdown to Dalton, it sounded like he was talking about himself. But of course, he was talking about Dalton Schultz. So Dalton to Dalton, one of your impressive connections. And actually, this game between the Vikings and the Cowboys featured two of the most incredible touchdown grabs that you will see all season long. I know producer Dave is in the middle of doing a million things, but producer Dave, if you would like to please find the Cowboys, or it's NFL Twitter as well, their video of the CD Lamb touchdown grab in which he twists and then lays out upside down to haul in an Andy Dalton pass in the corner of the end zone. And then Adam Thielen, who I continue to tell you is a badass, Adam Thielen in full stride, streaking toward the far corner of the end zone for Kirk Cousins, reaches out one giant palm and hauls the touchdown grab in with one hand. Both of those moments taking place in this game on Sunday, and they were dazzling. You hear first Paul Allen on the Vikings Radio Network, and then, as I mentioned, Brad Sham for the Cowboys. Andy Dalton returns. Four losses in the row for the Cowboys. He's back on the field, and the offense looks a lot better. Ezekiel Elliott scored again. I think it had been his first time since, oh, gosh, week. Never mind. I will get it wrong if I try to guess. I heard it on the broadcast, and then I'll just get it wrong if I try to guess. But 42 days since the last Atlanta. Amy. 42 days since the last Dallas victory. Breathe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Andy Dalton had his first concussion ever. Before he could even clear concussion protocol, he then got COVID and actually said it was pretty stressful to deal with, that he was pretty sick for a little bit. So it was good to see him back out there again. It was really, I think, cool to see both these offenses go toe-to-toe. And actually, if you think about what's been the Achilles heel for the Cowboys, it's been what? Their defense. And so, yes, they did get the offense. They did see that offense move with both the run game of Ezekiel Elliott, who had a touchdown, as well as the throwing ability of Andy Dalton. And he looked comfortable. But it was also really important for them to be able to contain Dalvin Cook. Kirk Cousins played well. This wasn't one of those games when Cousins was throwing the ball away, when he was turning it over. He had three touchdowns and no interceptions. And Dalvin Cook, although Cousins did have a lost fumble, Dalvin Cook had over 100 yards and a score himself. But he was nearly matched yard for yard by Zeke. And actually, Dallas won the rushing battle, 180 yards on the ground. Almost perfect balance between the run game and the passing attack. And so Dallas is able to get this win. And in this kind of back and forth affair, put up 15 points in the fourth quarter. Almost Dak Prescott-like, right? Except this time it was Dalton throwing the game-winning touchdown to Dalton.
Great play call by Kellen. You know, our guys, you know, at that point, it just comes down to execution, and that's exactly what we did. You know, great play design and got Dalton wide open in the end zone.
Heartbreaking loss today. It was hard fought. It was a back-and-forth game. You know, it's one of those games, and so many NFL games are like this, but where one or two plays, you know, makes the difference in the end.
And so the Dallas Cowboys joined the ranks in the NFC East, all four teams with three wins. Giants are off this week. Eagles lost in miserable weather to, well, it was a miserable performance by their offense thanks to the Browns' defense. Cowboys won, Washington won. Every single team in that division is at three wins, except the Eagles technically are still in first place because they have that stupid tie against the Bengals, right? It was against Cincinnati. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're asking you about your candidates for NFL MVP. I know they don't hand it out in week 11, but it's still kind of fun to have the conversation. We've got Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, maybe still some Russell Wilson. You've also got maybe a Derrick Henry, maybe a Dalvin Cook. Lots of you saying Ben Roethlisberger, though I say if we're splitting hairs and you're talking about who's the most valuable, the Steelers can stay afloat without Ben Roethlisberger. We saw him do it last year. You take Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers off the Chiefs and Packers, those two teams have no shot. But that's splitting hairs. There's still 6 weeks to go. Let's talk to Alan, who's in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'd like to nominate Josh Allen. 68.4% completion rate, 2,871 yards, 28 TDs. Should get over 4,000 yards, possibly 5,000. Should get over 40 TDs, possibly 5,000. And their defense is not good at all. They've allowed 275 yards, and they're almost as bad as Cincinnati. Cincinnati's got 270, and they're a sad sack team. So,
wait, hold on. When you say 275 yards, you mean per game?
I mean 265 points against. That's what I meant to say.
Well, no, they don't give up 265 points per game. I actually think the Bills defense is pretty good. I wouldn't say they're one of the best in the NFL, but they're definitely not as bad as, say, Dallas has been. But either way, as Josh Allen goes, so go the Bills. So I'll give you that.
And last week was just gut-wrenching. You know, I've been a longtime Bills fan since the days of O.J. Simpson and Haven Moses, and it was a really, really bitter medicine to swallow. But DeAndre Hopkins, you have to give him credit. Three defenders, and he jumped up. The odds of making that kind of catch or that kind of throw is about 10 to 1, possibly higher. If somebody said 50 to 1, I wouldn't argue with him. And it was just it was just horrible. They should be 8-2. You see, they got a TD with 34 seconds to go.
I know. I watched the game. You know, it was great.
You watched the game.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. So that was a miracle. He had to throw it on the dead run.
Yeah, but miracles count, too. I mean, the fact that the Bills were able to score the way they were, it was an incredible bullet pass at the time from Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs that gave them the lead. I mean, that was a brilliant touchdown drive for the Bills. But it's just, it's obviously football, so these kinds of things happen. And you're right, it's a one in a million that Kyler Murray can scramble and can get away from the containment and can chuck it across his body on the move, and DeAndre Hopkins can go up among three white jerseys. The Bills couldn't have done anything different there. So I'll give you that Allen is the catalyst for his team, certainly the leader for that team on the field and off. His numbers aren't quite as good, though his QB rating is in the top 10 in the NFL. And when you look at his touchdowns, he's at 21 versus 7 interceptions. That's just the passing numbers. So they're comparable. They're just not quite at the top. But I still believe that he obviously is the reason why this team is a contender.
And all bye weeks are gone, so we have to keep our fingers crossed. The NFL is it's skating on thin ice. The bubble could burst at any time, so we just have to pray that nothing happens with the COVID-19 does not increase.
Wait, what makes you think that it's skating on thin ice? I mean, they haven't had a schedule alteration or a game canceled or even postponed in over a month.
Yeah, they've been lucky, so we just have to keep our fingers crossed.
I guess I understand what you're saying by luck. I don't think luck has anything to do with it. I mean, these teams, these players are working really hard. They're taking all kinds of precautions. They're in intensive protocols over the course of every week from now until the end of the season. So they're making it happen, which is why I think that it's not so much luck. It's not so much about what's going on around them. They're taking extra precautions, and the NFL is prepared for pretty much anything that they're going to see. They also have contingencies in place. So even if things continue to escalate outside the NFL, the fact is that the league has kind of prepared for what might happen in that case. But yeah, the Bills taking this week off, and it's a good time for it. And right now have a nice cushion there in the AFC East. Alan, thanks so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. Producer Dave Quick looked it up. Right now, the Bills are in the middle third, essentially, of the defense. So they're 20th in points and yards per game. So not terrible, but also not great. There are far worse defenses, but there are better defenses too. And we certainly know they've added weapons on offense. So they are a legit contender, even if Josh Allen isn't the MVP. So who do you think at this point is the front runner for the MVP? TJ on Twitter, A-Law Radio, says King Henry, Derrick Henry, deserves MVP talk and should be leading the pack in that conversation. Jeffrey says Mahomes is the easy choice, but I'm going with Russ because Seattle would be a bottom feeder without him. Certainly, that should be a part of the equation. I know a lot of times it comes down to numbers, and then you factor in record. Value is such a difficult... It's such a difficult category to quantify. How many wins is this quarterback worth? A lot of times we're talking eye test, right? So not only does the quarterback or the running back have to have the numbers, but then you have to factor in what his team might look like without him. And so that's more where it's subjective. But I do love that we've got some healthy candidates, just like we've got healthy division races and some kind of crazy 6 weeks ahead of us as we race for the playoffs. Back to Sunday Night Football. 5 lead changes in the second half. That's straight ahead here after hours, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.